And welcome to yet another live training here in Straightforward Fat Loss. This group is means a lot to me. It's great. I love it. I love it so much. And it means a great deal to me that you're all here, that I can everything else. Now, if you missed the live training and didn't catch up on Facebook, then I had the ingenious idea halfway through last week's live. You can either go back and watch it in the group, or I uploaded it onto the Fitness Solution podcast, so you can grab it on there as well. So I'm just sharing the love and sharing the wealth. I'm coming to you live today from my bedroom on the Gold Coast, and I just bought these new De'Longhi latte cups. They're amazing. I think I've had about four coffees today. So if you think I'm talking a bit fast or if I'm a bit all over the place with my thoughts, is probably due to the caffeine. He says, taking another sip. Right. So today, well, earlier on in the week, I posted up one of my videos that was talking all about, are you gearing up to try another diet? Are you gearing up to try and make that one last change? Are you trying to look at things and go, okay, I'm going to do yet another diet? And you know, whenever you, I always feel like whenever someone kind of comes towards doing a diet, when they come towards like, okay, let's get everything together again, let's go for a diet, they do it begrudgingly. They do it knowing that it's gonna be tiresome, it's not gonna be enjoyable, and actually, you know, the fears of failure always come back. Because they've tried it a million times before, and all of these things. Interestingly, I was having a conversation with one of my strong, confident clients last night on her monthly call, and we had a similar conversation about exercise as well, in that how she finds engaging with exercise rather difficult because she correlates exercise to losing weight. She correlates exercise to punishing a body. She correlates, I'm doing this structured workout because I want to change my body. And internally, it conflicts her because she knows that actually doing the, it conflicts her because she knows exercising for that reason isn't ideal. But she also knows that she doesn't want to punish her body anymore. She doesn't want to reduce her body anymore. She doesn't want to do things that create weight loss. She wants to do things that engage in strength and health. And kind of unpicking those thoughts with her fitness is very difficult. And also, sorry, my fiance was calling me on my phone, hence I got confused. And then Facebook was telling me that my FPSs are too low. I don't know what all that means, so I'm just gonna crack on. And then also I find that with diets, people feel the same. People feel the same in that, oh, I'm going to do yet another diet, and they know that the diet is designed to reduce their is to reduce themselves as opposed to unleash themselves. And unleashing yourself is really the attitude we want, both with your fitness and of course with the food that you're eating. Now, there is a dichotomy here. And that dichotomy is that if you want to lose weight, you are obviously going to have to reduce your calories to some degree. One second. What's up? I'm doing a live. I'm doing a live video. What's wrong? No, it was just a quick text because I'm on a live video. No worries. Okay, I can't. I'm on a live. All right, I love you. Bye. I'm sorry about that little interlude. I think I'll edit that out of the podcast. Anyway, so people, and so we're in this dichotomy. We know that we have to be into a calorie deficit in order to lose weight, but equally, we don't want to punish ourselves anymore. We don't want to drag ourselves over hot coals and make ourselves feel like rubbish all of the time, because we're engaging in a diet that makes us feel restricted, feel horrible, and everything else. And these squaring these circles are difficult. And squaring these circles is basically the majority of my work with many of my clients, is how do I make you feel your best whilst trying to make sure that you're still achieving your goals in terms of what it is you want to achieve in terms of fitness and fat loss and everything else. So we're here. Now, it will come to no surprise to you that I am dead set against diet culture, dead set against things like Weight Watchers, Slimming World, dead set against meal replacement shakes, Herbalifes, Juice Pluses, all of those kinds of things. They're not your friend and they're not my friend. And it's not that they're not my friend because I just think it's bad business. It is bad business, but it's more they're not my friend because I know the damage that things like that do to people. And I don't want to see people get damaged in the world. And the reason they damage people is because they create far too great a restriction. They create a reliability on something that is perfectly unsustainable, and they also create a pass-fail mentality. They push you into only ever looking at the weight you're losing. They push you into only ever, and these are diets in general. They push you only ever into checking the scale. They push you only ever into all the horrible things that make you feel like you're just trudging your feet and you're getting through life with no energy, as opposed to feeling full and effervescent and full of energy. So that's where we're at. Now, how do we get around all of this? The first thing I notice with people who, one, struggle with their body weight and their sense of self-worth and their confidence and their fitness. The biggest thing that these people have in common is an element, I've got a really itchy nose, is an element of disordered eating, is an element of, well, a huge element of emotional eating and a huge element of no structure around the food they eat and the meals they eat. And I don't think meal replacement things help with that either. And really what we need to do is diets don't teach you to, some diets do, but not all diets teach you to really focus on that side of things, to really pin yourself to the mast of structure. Structure is one of the most important, one of the most significant, and one of the most incredible tools that we seem to always forget about when it comes to starting to control our nutrition and starting to put our nutrition into a framework. That framework is going to build success for you. What we do is we miss breakfast, we rush a snack, we miss lunch because we're busy at work and we feel like that's more important. And then what happens is we get stressed whilst we're at work as well, and we overeat in every way, shape, and form. We overeat everything. We don't. And then you end up on this cycle. And the other thing with diets as well is that they can make you restrict your calories to a massive point that you then end up overindulging again on the other side of it. So you'll bring your calories right down, and then you'll feel starved, and then you'll slam some massive meals, lots of snacks and everything, just to refeed yourself because your body is screaming for some help. And this is where structure really comes in. Now, you can frame structure in many ways with your food. The way I like to do it with clients is a system called three meals, two snacks. And that means that I'd like you to have three meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'd like them all to try and fit on one plate, if at all possible, please. And then you can have two snacks in the day around that as well. And by just getting people to eat in that manner, by just getting people to eat in the manner of structure, by just getting people to make sure they have breakfast, they have lunch, they have dinner, they actually find time for a meal. I mean, if you're not finding time for a meal in your life, then you have bigger problems in your body weight. You have bigger problems in your fitness. You literally have to eat to survive. It's a fundamental of life, right? So it's really important to me that you give yourself the right to the time to eat. I don't know at what point at work in society did it become normal for people to just never eat. I don't know at what point that became normalized, and it really shouldn't have. And it's a great shame that it has been normalized because it's so damaging to people. I've done it. I know I've done it. I've done it many times working in corporate. Even at the gym, I do it because your clients come and everything else. But I try to always make sure I have at least one meal whilst I'm at work because I know that's important and I do try to live up to the principles that I lay out for my clients. Obviously, I've got to lead by example, right? So this structure is incredibly important. And with many of my clients, I worry more about making sure they're eating regularly every day than necessarily worrying about the quality of the food upon which they are eating. Especially for beginners, I worry an awful lot less about whether they're getting their protein, their carbs, and their fats in. And I worry so much more about whether they're just eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner and having two snacks in the day when they feel like they need to. Because I can make sure you're eating the right amount of protein, carbs, and fats as much as you want. Like, I can do the numbers, I can run it, I can tell you what to eat. But when real life bites, we all know those plans go straight out the window. We all know those plans don't stick. We all know that you end up grabbing something on the go, need to sneeze. No, it's gone. And nope, need to sneeze again. No, it's gone. Oh, this is horrible. Nope, I think I'm okay. Yep, I don't know. Every time I breathe in through my nose, it feels like I need to sneeze. I think it's passed. And we all know life gets on top of us. That we're not going to plan that meal all of the time to make sure that we are eating the right amount of protein, the right amount of fats, the right amount of carbohydrates. And this is why I always talk about making fitness fit into your lives. There's always a balance to be struck, and you'll be amazed that when you start putting structure into your diet, when you start putting that into your life, then you'll be amazed how effective that can be for all of your goals. The other thing I want to briefly talk about today is obviously giving yourself permission to eat. That's the other key aspect of this. So another massive thing with diets that they kind of don't do, or they do is they try and take out massive food groups for you. They try and tell you to avoid anything processed, or avoid carbohydrates, or avoid fats, or avoid low fat, or avoid, and you end up just confused in a whole melting pot of no idea about anything, right? And so one of the other key aspects to this, if you're going to give yourself structure, the other balance of that is you need to make sure that you give yourself permission. You have a right to eat every single bit of food you want in the world at any time you wish. And the more you can give yourself permission to enjoy that food, the better it is. The better your mental health will be, the better your physical health will be, because you're not constantly swinging from one thing to the other. You're just, I have full permission. Now, obviously, I understand I'm talking to the educated here. Like, you're not going to suddenly go, oh, well, Adam gave me permission to eat 10 McDonald's a day. That's not what I've said. I said, try and have structured meals each and every day. And the other part of that is let's try and make sure that you're giving yourself permission to have a chocolate bar if you want it. And you'd be amazed that when you actually give yourself full permission for these foods, you'll end up consuming less over time because you'll realize that you're not restricting yourself. You're giving yourself permission, and therefore the monkey is off your back. You've completely got rid of that thought in your head that, oh my God, I really want it, I really want it, I really want it, but I'm not allowed it, but I'm not allowed it, but I'm not allowed it, but I really want it. Ah, I'm going to have loads of it. Suddenly you go, okay, I'll just have a bit of chocolate. And suddenly the significance of it is reduced in your life. The significance of what that chocolate, when you're on a diet, like one Mars bar when you're on a diet is will make or break your day. Whereas when you're on a plan of structure and a plan of permission, a structure and permission plan, I like that, then suddenly the significance of that Mars bar completely diminishes, completely goes away. The significance of that Mars bar is, okay, it's just a Mars bar. See you later. Great, no worries. I ate a donut. Okay, fine, I'll move on. Because one, it was one of my snacks that I was allowed. But two, I've also had breakfast. I'm having lunch. I'm having dinner. I've done that for the last 7 days. What's a donut going to do to me? Not a lot. And when you can give yourself that full permission as well, when you can understand that your diet isn't made or broken over having a bag of crisps, that actually, but your humanity might be, then you realize that actually food doesn't control you, you control it. And all of this is really the path of building a better relationship with food, building a much better relationship with all of the things that you need a relationship with in your life. You can't avoid having a relationship with it, but they might have got squiffed in the past. And they might have got squiffed for many reasons, but one of those reasons probably is the fact that you you have engaged in toxic diets, or you've been to one of these groups and things like that. I really want you to start healing your relationship with food. Being able to do that is one of the most important aspects of your health in general. And healing that relationship with food comes down to having structure in what it is you're eating, having permission in what it is you're eating, and making sure that you put the right amount of significance onto those two things so that you don't keep chasing the thing that's going to reduce your body weight. You don't keep going back to the diet that made the change before, but for some reason it wasn't sustainable. That's how you rebuild your relationship with food, or it's the great starting point for rebuilding your relationship with food. Now, I asked, as I always do, I asked for some comments on this before I was going to do this live, and I've had two wonderful comments come in from two of the members in Straightforward Fat Loss. So Kerry, she said, I asked four questions. The first question was, why do you start diets? And she said, usually because I've had a period of time where I've had other things that need to take priority and my clothes stopped fitting well. That's when I start shifting focus back to fat loss. So what she's talking about there is she's had a busy period in her life, work, children, family. Suddenly she notices that her body is changing again to a point that makes her feel uncomfortable, and then she thinks, okay, I need to go on a diet again. And I think that's probably quite a normal cycle for most people. My second question was, how many diets have you tried? She says, no idea, which tells you how many she has tried. No idea, but the dumbest one was when I was 19 and my friend talked me into doing one with her, which was eating only a tin of tuna for every meal for a week. If that's not going to destroy your relationship with food, I don't know what is. I really don't know what is. A tin of tuna for every meal for a week. What's that going to even achieve? Again, I mean, I might have had structure. I might have eaten three tins of tuna. But it's clearly not a balanced meal, is it? Then my third question was, what do you commonly find when you go on a diet? Three. These days, I have a pretty good grasp on fat loss and nutrition, so the results tend to be slow and steady. I know if I have too aggressive a calorie deficit, I get tired and I find myself wanting sugary things. See? And this is why I try to make sure that you don't restrict too much. That you give yourself permission to eat the foods that you want. Because what she's describing there is a mini binge restrict cycle, which is probably a bigger one. Yeah, it's just pulling the calories down too low, and then she's finding she's tired, and then that tiredness is leading into her choosing foods that aren't congruent to her goals. And that creates a big issue. And then my fourth question was, what would you want most from a diet that wasn't a diet? And she went, I think for a diet to not feel like a diet, it needs to not be restrictive. Good point. With types of food and not too restrictive that you can't go out and enjoy event stroke holidays. From experience, calorie counting on Christmas Day takes away the fun of the day. Of course it does. If you're counting calories at Christmas or your birthday, we need to have a chat. And that's another key aspect of when you engage in structure and permission to eat, when you engage in that, you suddenly have the ability to enjoy things like Christmas, dinner, meals out with family. And the significance of those become less important because you know you're still working within the framework that we laid out before of structure, of permission, the structure and permission plan. And those things are incredibly important for your mental health, your emotional health, and your relationship with food. Christina, hey Christina, if you're listening, she said, I start diets for exactly the reasons you mentioned. Maybe this one will finally work, but it never works. I finally figured out there is a reason why Weight Watchers has a lifetime membership. It's true, right? That maybe this one will work. If I put it this way, if you're going back to a diet because it worked last time, it didn't work, okay? Because you're having to go back to it. And I think people fall into that trap so easily because they're sold it. Maybe this one will be the one. Maybe it'll be intermittent fasting. Maybe keto is the answer. It worked for Jenny. It might work for me. And that's just not what happens. Number two, I've tried way too many diets to count. Starting back to my teens with eating disorders because I was, in inverted commas, chubby, right through until I checked out Noom a month or so ago. I realized most of the info on there I already know, but for some reason was telling myself someone else might be worth paying a bunch of money to tell me things I already know. Seems silly. Doesn't seem silly at all, because they're preying on your insecurities. These diet companies prey on those insecurities of you so that you will part with that cash, so that you will go and subscribe to Noom, you will commit to a lifetime membership to Weight Watchers. And once they've got you, it's very hard to wrestle yourself away from them. And they know that. And again, it sounds like, Christina, you've had the same experience as so many people have. Too many diets to count. Lost count, can't figure it out, I don't know, and yet you're still in that same place. And I would challenge you, I'd ask you, and anyone else who's listening to this who feels exactly like Christina does, have you ever only ever worked on structure and permission to eat whatever it is you want? And if you haven't worked on that in those diets, that might be the missing ingredient. Number three. These days, it's more of when I get down on myself because I could not keep up the work. Oh, just let me double check what the question was here. What do you commonly find when you go on a diet? These days, it's more of when I get down on myself because I could not keep up the work I had been doing pre-illness and surgeries. I have to come to accept my body is not as it was. I need to rebuild and nourish it now for who I am, not who I was. That's a whole other point. I often tie that point into postpartum mums. But what she finds when she's on a diet is that she struggles because she can't keep up the work. Because tracking your calories, keeping on top of your protein, making sure you're eating enough carbohydrates and fat, making sure that you're tracking it all on MyFitnessPal, making sure you're doing all these things is stressful, it's hard, and it's time consuming. It's not overly time consuming for everybody, but I think it's overly time consuming for the majority of people. And when you put in structure and permission to eat, then the significance of tracking your food kind of dissipates a little bit. Obviously, I'm always going to encourage people to make sure the quality of the food is there as well, like protein and vegetables at every meal. Why do you think I simplify these things as much as I can? Because I want you to be able to engage with them, and I want you to be able to still make sure that you are eating foods that work for you. Because if, put it this way, if you do have three meals at McDonald's every day, you're not going to feel good about yourself. And we still want you to feel good about yourself. But equal to that, I don't necessarily need you to worry too much about it. Just eat things you know that are good for you. And number four, balance. This is what she wants out of a diet. Balance. I'm working on balance, but it can easily get away from you when not micromanaging it. I'm trying to make it natural, but that will take time. I currently use MyFitnessPal, and handwritten journaling goes with the diverticulitis ingestion, and it is helping me. That's amazing. Balance is the key to everything. Balance, structure, and permission. So I'm giving you freedom, but I'm also saying, look, let's make sure we control that freedom. Balance is one of the most important aspects of life. And the reason other diets don't work is they don't promote balance. You have to only eat between the hours of 1 and 7 p.m. Like whatever it might be, balance isn't there. And no human can exist in the world without balance. It's just not a fun way to live. You don't need to exercise every day. And also, when you start restricting foods away from you, that chocolate bar becomes so significant because you feel like it's putting you out of balance because your idea of balance is so skewed to begin with. Balance is probably the key to all of this. And if you're going to engage in a diet, make sure that you're promoting balance first. and that will really help you with the success. And if you're doing a diet or considering gearing up for another diet and you don't feel like balance is at the heart of what you're being asked to do, then that is probably not going to be a successful diet for you. And yeah, she's journaling on it, which is awesome. And I think journaling around your food can be very helpful and very important as well. I've got a comment. That's brilliant. If you're going back to a diet because it worked before, it didn't work. Oh, thanks, Amanda. Thank you for being here, Amanda, and thanks for all the comments. So that's this week's live training on diets. I hope you found it useful. If you're listening to the podcast version of this and you're not in Straightforward Fat Loss, the group, it's linked in the show notes. Equally, just go to Facebook and type in Straightforward Fat Loss and the group will show up. And I cannot wait to see you in there. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you found